Yes. Stacked up all the way to the back. Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as the table.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. First, to welcome everybody back. Everybody back. From the Yontif break. And, okay, so right before Yontif, we were discussing the issue of Mima'enes in the context of Yibum, and we actually got through all the Gemaras, I think, at the time. So we got through, I think, all the Gemaras and most of, the basic issues, and what remains is we have to discuss quite a few specifics to build up the... To build up the topic with some details. Right. So I think we began, just to remind everybody, without going over too much, we began with a kind of general analysis of what Miyun is, whether it's simply Akira Lamafreya and Kiddusha Drabanan. There really are two issues when it comes to Miyun, and part of the issue is to determine the relationship between them. Right? One is the status of, everybody agrees that Miyun is certainly while she's a katana, is a kiddushin drabanan, the question is, how seriously do we take that kiddushin drabanan? Is that kind of just an arrangement, where there are no isurim, or it may even be a protective arrangement for the katana, but we don't really see it as a serious ishus. Maybe we'd see it as a fledgling or a potential ishus later on, but really, again, we'd be emphasizing more what it's lacking than what it really has. Or is this really an ishus drabanan? Again, it is drabanan, but an ishus drabanan that we take more seriously. Connected to this question, I'll discuss it briefly in a moment because we don't want to do too much on the topic. Well, we do, but we won't because we'd get too far afield. Is the question whether how to understand the transition when a miyun drabanan turns into a kiddushin daraisa, right? In theory, there are two ways to understand that. Right? The more obvious way is that that's a misnomer. It doesn't really happen that way. What happens is that at a certain point there becomes an independent basis for a kiddushin daraisa. Let's say kiddushe bia, obviously being the candidate. As if this chaye ha'ishus, and the point when she becomes a gedola, so at that point there is a kiddushe bia, and that's a simple pshat. Is it possible that if miyun isn't just an arrangement, but it's a kind of ishus derabanan, so even then the transition to a daraisa might require a completely independent action. But taking it in the other direction, if there's any possibility that miyun actually turns into a daraisa in some meaningful way, and that the maisa bia, the gadlusa, isn't an independent kiddushe bia in the typical sense, but is something more like a gemar, ha'ishus of the, whatever that means, that would also seem to imply that until now, right, we've been treating it, with greater seriousness, as not just an arrangement, as I say, but as a form of ishus, maybe with elements of that potential daraisa, being foreshadowed in the miyun. Again, you could break the connection between these things, but just in a general sense, obviously, it would be sensible to link these issues. So that's one issue. The status of kiddushe miyun, if you want to call it, even the phrase kiddushe miyun, is a phrase that needs to be investigated further. Right, is it just a convenient usage, or do we mean that this is, kiddushe miyun of some sense, in some sense? Closely connected to it, and again, you can break the connection in both directions, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a logical progression between them, is the question, what happens when, the miyun doesn't transition into a ishus daraisa at some point, not what happens while the two are living together before the miyun takes place, but what happens when miyun actually does take place, when we break kiddushin shel miyun? Right. So, again, the more you want to see this as never having been an ishus to begin with, right, the easier it is to say, that there are no remnants of any kind of Ishus, the more you consider that, you know, this might really have been an Ishus, or had the potential, or the potential Ishus, or Mitzas Ishus, whatever you want to call it, then seeing Miyun, again, the Rambam's formulation in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Gerushin, which we'll get to in a moment, the Rambam starts off and says, no, Miyun is not a get. You know, so that's for sure true, and it's definitely Nekar Lamafreya, and it's her initiative rather than his. But the question is, does the Rambam, by saying that, you know, establish something very clear? Or is he, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say protesteth too much in this particular case, but by saying that Miyun isn't a get, you know, is the Rambam saying it isn't a get, you know, with respect to certain things, or it isn't a get, but, you know, it's not completely disconnected from the idea of a matir of Ishus either. And that's what I'm suggesting is that either Miyun is an Akira Lamafreya Legamri, or Miyun is some way out of a particular type of Ishus. And certainly if it's the second, then the possibility that there remain, you know, consequences or echoes, etc., is something to consider seriously. And we've already talked about Reb Chaim's perspective. I'm going to discuss the details of Reb Chaim today. But the idea that, you know, maybe there really are significant echoes. Maybe there's a difference between, to use his terminology, you know, Lemafreya and Mikanu Lahabal Lemafreya. But I'd like to suggest that also we might want to expand again his application of the idea. Even his concept might, you know, be one which we can expand. And again, we talked about some of the formulations. Again, in Reb Chaim, as I'll explain soon, it seems to be a question of timing. In other words, things that took place, you know, before the Miyun, as opposed to things that take place, you know, after the Miyun. What I'm going to suggest, and what I already suggested, actually, you know, the shiur that we had before Yontif, is that, you know, maybe it's even more complicated than that. Maybe the issue in both directions. In other words, maybe it's not all about what happened before the Miyun and what's happening now after the Miyun, but issues that are connected, you know, with their, you know, having been, you know, a past, albeit one which has, we acknowledge, been rewritten, as opposed to things that, you know, we only presently, you know, acknowledge about the past. Again, in the formulations that we, in which case, we wouldn't be able to draw a simple line. It would be harder to pin things down, but it's possible there'll be things that, you know, we'll be discussing that happened before the Miyun that are still completely wiped out, you know, by an Akira Lamafreya, if they're related to, you know, the components, let's say, of the Ishus that have been Nekar Lamafreya. And there might even be things, you know, that in time, in other words, in chronological time, that take place after the Miyun, right, but that are built on a past, you know, which on some level we don't completely deny, and we've revised, but we haven't completely denied. We've rewritten it, but, you know, we've acknowledged that it once was on the books, so that even, you know, something which seemingly is post-Miyun or a post-Miyun expression connected to the Ishus may yet be significant. I'll explain in detail what I mean in just a few minutes. But obviously, the suggestion I was making about reading the Gemara in a more fundamental way about the Kalosso and about Tzoros, Mima'enes, would be examples of this. And we'll explain what we mean. Okay. So basically, what I'm suggesting is that both on the Kiddushei Miyun level and in terms of the Hafkas Miyun, right, there's a relationship between those two issues, and there's what to speak of. In our sugya, of course, the added complication is the issue of Yibum, right? Is there Zika LeYibum at all? I'm sorry, is there Miyun Liyibum at all? And if so, you know, is it How does that affect, you know, and how does it fit in with the regular dine meal? And as again, something we discuss on, in much more detail, just referring it briefly as a recap, right? I think there are really two types of issues here, or maybe three types of issues. One is the question of access, you know, to the original ishus, if that's something that is needed in miyun in general. That's how connected or within the framework do you have to be of that ishus in order to accomplish miyun? Can you be mimayin, you know, once you're already in a different ishus, can you be mimayin la'akar misa, you know, things of that sort, the Gemara and Kuvches, and Kuvtes, etc. That's an important question for the issue of miyun in Yibum, since we're at a stage where, again, the initial husband, you know, has died. And the question whether that becomes a dual question, a Yibum question and a miyun question, how much access do you need to the original ishus? How much access exists to the original ishus? So that's one kind of question. On the other side of it, certainly this is relevant to the Kalaso question, to what extent is it not only maybe off limits or inaccessible, the original ishus, but to what extent has the fact that you have moved to a different stage because of Misa Sabal and the Zika of Yibum, to what extent does the Zika of Yibum itself constitute kind of a strengthening of the miyun, something for which not only would there be responsible for there being less access, you know, such that there could be an akira, but on the contrary, maybe it's just too late because the ishus has been, or the miyun ishus has been solidified in that you've reached the point of yibum and zika and these other relationships prior to miyun. And if so, does that disqualify miyun in the context of yibum? Or, and this is the third point, does it, or just forget about everything I said, just leave it as a third and completely independent question, is there an independent notion that's, if you want to continue the second point, so to say, does there therefore need to be a separate notion of miyun for Zika? But if you want to just, you know, see it as an independent question, you could say, maybe there doesn't need to, but maybe there just is, right? Maybe miyun in the context of Yibum and Zika, right, isn't the same as miyun in regular ishus. Maybe it's a miyun shel hafka Zika, right? In which case, again, you know, there would be all sorts of consequences in terms of you know, other krovim or krovim for the you know, the Isur Krovim from the original Ishus, including Kalaso, there would possibly be important consequences in terms of, again, the need for Chalitza, the impact on one Yavam, the impact on multiple Yavamin, etc. That would just be very different. It would just be a different kind of a question than the issue of just saying, well, the miyun is only one thing. Miyun is akiras ishus harishona, and, you know, that's an all-or-nothing proposition, pretty much. In other words, if you have access and you can still, it's still relevant to do it, you know, then everything just unravels. But the idea that there is a miyun, right, which can address Zika, right, and leave intact, you know, other Zikos or aspects of the Zika or other aspects of the Ishus or Rishona, right, that again is not obvious at all. And it's, again, an issue which overlaps two topics, right? Number one, the capacity of miyun to do this, right? It certainly would imply miyun as some sort of a matir rather than simply as, you know, a tos l'mafreya, because that certainly has to go to the initial access of the connection to, you know, Baal HaRishon. It would also imply that, you know, that Zika is being treated, you know, as a kind of ishus in its own right. Again, Zika kiknusa, you know, does it depend on Yeh Zika or things of that sort? We'll have to discuss. Not here, but when we go forward with that topic. So the idea that there could be a miyun lazika, and then the parameters of that and the configurations of that is itself an important issue and topic. So these are all issues that come up in the sugya. In terms of the general shakla v'tarya, as we've discussed, I think that two broad approaches, and we already read through them. We're not going to go through all the gemaras again. Are to see everything in terms of akira, sa'ishus, and ishus derabanan, and whatever doesn't fit in, to that all or nothing, take no prisoners, kind of result of being ochre everything is just based on, maris ayin type considerations. Like the people on the outside don't realize that this was miyun, and all of a sudden they're seeing, the breach of all sorts of relationships that are important, and therefore you're going to get some inconsistencies and some anomalies in order to protect siagwise, some of the categories. That's one way to look at everything, and certainly that's probably the most popular way to look at everything. There seem to be a lot of echoes that that there are other ways to look at it, and those other ways have to do with what we were talking about before, namely miyun as a kind of kedusha miyun as a kind of ishus, and miyun as a matir of some sort of that ishus, the adjustments being on part of it being lamafreya, it being her initiative, etc. But nonetheless, there being aspects that will, allow more easily for some of the distinctions that we're talking about, different krovim, the ishus harishona and the zika, etc. Okay, so that's pretty much what we were trying to do. And then we went through the Shaka Vitaria on Daf Kuv Zayin and Kuv Kessel, but Kuv Kessel a little bit. We're not going to do that again. And here, of course, on Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which reflects those Shaka Vitaria, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? Again, we noted that Beis Shammai consistently, seem to be limiting, miyun. And the question is whether it's each application that they're quibbling about, or the common denominator in the patterns suggests that Beis Shammai see ishus shel miyun as more of an ishus, and therefore miyun as more of a hafkas that ishus, whereas Beis Hillel is more, again, akira lamafreya has there oriented. Maybe Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai in principle, and there are some echoes of that as well. They just argue on a lot of pratim. Then we talked about, again, our Gemara. Again, the Gemara is on Kupkes and Kuptes and our Gemara. And the positions of Rav Hoshea, right, Memanes Lamamara Velo Luzikaso. We tried to flesh out what that is all about. Ula, Rab and Shmuel, right, Miyana Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh, and Rab's Miyana Bazeh, Asura Bazeh. Ula's Memaenis Lazikaso, Ravasi, Miyana Bazem Muteras Gamlo. So we went through those various shitas, the Sugyan of Kuvchesu and Beis, about Ashes Ache Imo, right, and the Machokus in the Rif, and other Rishonim, the Rif on Lamed Zayin and Aleph and the Dapia Rif, and Amuke Yosef and others on Lamed Vavom and Aleph and Dapia Rif, and the Kiddushan Shashem, question of access. And then we went through the Gemara here on Yud Beis and Aleph and Yud Gimel and Aleph. The impact of the factor of law of the Bamaisa, and Tosis' discussion about that, etc. Okay. So, and the Gemara, you give a Lamed Aleph, why is there not a Yibum, right, as well, in that case? Hava Mina Maskana, then the Din of Kalaso, etc. With respect to Shmuel in particular, we also, noted the Machlokas HaRishonim, that the Rif and Rov Rishonim hold that Shmuel's din of Miyana Bazeh Muteres Bazeh is based on the principle of Ula, namely that there's an Akira Lamafreya. This contrasted with the Shita of the Balamor, again later on in the Sugya in Kuv Zayin, where the Balamor thinks that Ula is Akira Lamafreya, but that Shmuel is a special matir for the Zika of the of the Yibum, and dafka for one brother and not the others. It's a matir for one. And even that one brother, right, it's it basically is more, not really a matir. The better way to say it is that it's a posel, right? It's it eliminates his ability to do Yibum, but he still would have, even if there was only one brother and there was a miyun, there would still be an obligation to still require chalitza. He compares it to, partially at least, to get. The Ramban, as we noted, asks against the Balamor from our sugya, because in our sugya, it seems like the Gemara wants to say even Tsaras Bito Mimaenes, you know, should be, you know, permitted for Yibum. That doesn't make sense if you're all like the Balamor. Again, probably you have to say, to answer the Ramban's question, that that's Kufa, the Gemara's answer, where the Gemara says that that Nira Kitsaras Bito, what the Gemara is saying is, don't think that, according to Shmuel, the way that Mian works in this context is through Akiras Kiddushin or Rishonim, but rather it's a matir, or an oser rather, or a posel for Yibum. It affects the Zika of this particular brother. But again, if that's signified by Nira Kitsaras Bito, then basically what the Balamor seems to be also saying in the reading of the Gemara would be that miyun, right, is a kind of a matir. And it isn't just an akira, and that tsaras bito, and the din of tsaros in general, right, reflect remnants of the ishus. You'd have to say that remnants of the ishus have to do with, you know, nisun arishonim, and those relationships, even in a situation where there's no possibility of actual implementation of Yibum. And that's pretty much what we were trying to establish. Then there's another machlokas of Rishonim, and that's you know, kind of the next stage. Even the Rishonim who disagree with the, you know, with the Balamor, right, do not think that, you know, Miyana Bazem Uteres Bazeh is based on a complete Akiras Kiddushin Harishonim. Right? How, why do I say that, Akiva? It's only an Akira vis-a-vis that one brother, which is a hard concept to understand. You can see what's more, the Balamor at least, is basically saying there's something called miyun in the context of Yibum, is a miyun for Zika. Right? And, you know, even if it's very limited, and it's a difficult concept to understand, but you know, by avoiding Akiras Kiddushin HaRishonim, right, he's explaining at least why one brother can be Asura, and the other brothers, you know, can be still in the state of full Zika. That's the attractive aspect of the Balamor. It's an ambitious reading of Shmuel, but it you know, it has a payoff, and that's its payoff. The problem is that the other Rishonim want to have their cake and eat it too. On the one hand, they want to explain that the Zika to the other Achim is Chai B'Kayam. It's hard to say that when you say that there was an Akira L'Mafreya of the Nisuin HaRishonim, right? But at the same time, they really want to treat Miyun not like a get, because they want to say that L'Inyan the Ach, who, you know, who is the subject of the miyun, that he is mufka legamri, and that, you know, legabe him, she's a nachris. So basically, she has a zika to the other brothers, and she's a nachris vis-a-vis him. And the question is, how does that really work? Because once you say this akiras kiddushin, can you say akiras kiddushin harishonim legabe one zika and not legabe another zika? Essentially, that is what they are saying, and that in itself is a very big chiddush. Possibly, to avoid this, the Rambam doesn't read the Gemara that way. Except that, you know, everything you do, you know, creates another challenge. Right. So the Rambam, as we know, Kiva, how do we know it? That the Rambam didn't read the Gemara this way? Because Rambam passes like Shmuel. Just like? Excellent, exactly. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin, in Hilchos Gerushin has this, right, both formulation and din, and that's what I want to speak about a little more now, which is very controversial. Right, the Rambam paskins like Shmuel, right? He also paskins like the day in the Gemara about Kalosso, right? That Kalosso, after the Nefila takes place, right? As long as the Miyun didn't take place yet, so the Isur of Kalosso persists even after the Miyun. That's what the Rambam paskins. But the Rambam says that this is a unique din, or seems to say this is a unique din in Kalosso. Right, it doesn't apply to Shar Krovin. And therefore he says, Lefikach. Right, that's what we have here, thank you. So we have Hamama Enes Biyavam, Asur La'aviv, Abdishinirska Kalaso. Right? Hamama Enes Biyavam, Asur La'aviv, Abdishinirska Kalaso, Be'eshemes Beno, Abel Shar Krovav Muteres. Lefikach, Emiyan, Abbe Echad, Mena Yvamin, Muteres. So this is the Rambam's the din of Miyan Abayachal and Miyan Yivam and Taras Lachim is the din of Shmuel. The Rambam lefikacht Shmuel, right? So, and what is it lefikacht to? So the din to his chiddush that Kala is an exception, and that the rule is that in the context of Yibum, that Krovim are permitted. Even in the context of Yibum, Krovim are permitted. So the question is, how did the Rambam get that halacha? Where did he get that from? There are two issues in the Rambam. Number one, how does he substantively distinguish between Kalosso and Shar Krovim? Why should you single out Kalosso? What does he mean? Hey, what's the scope of that? Is it Kalosso or Kalosso Udine? And what's the Ine? I mean, what do we mean? The simple reading of the Rambam is Dafka Kalasa. So, what do we mean by that? And why is there that distinction? Right? And secondly, is the Lefikach. Right? So, apparently the Rambam read the Gemara that what Shmuel was saying was that the brothers are mutaros, are mutarim, not betoras zika and eshes. And the heter of Eshesach midin mitzvahs yibum, but midin nachri. In other words, there never was Eshesach because the kedusha were nekarim meikara. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. So then, what he's really saying? Okay, so number one. So why would he say that? Because he wanted to avoid both the Balamor, right, and the Ramban. I didn't want to say what the Balamor said. Right, that's the idea that, you know, there's a special din of there's a special matir of miun, or special posel of miun. Let's say dafka klape, you know, the zika of one brother. Right, but the zika remains intact for the others. You don't want to say that. You don't want to say what the Ramban Udine say, which is Le'inyan one brother, there's an Akiras Ishus Lamafreya. Le'inyan everybody else, right? The Zika remains pristine. This idea of Akiras Ishus that is selective, Legabe this one and not Legabe that one, is obviously something that the Rambam couldn't abide. And from the Balamor point of view, maybe just couldn't abide that there's a notion of Zika. Or if there's a notion of me and the Zika at all. Right. Oh. So therefore the Rambam came up with this more purist, in one sense, notion that this is the regular miyun that we know of in all other contexts as well. The miyun which has access to and which is oker the ishus. None of this fancy stuff about, you know, a limited akiras ishus which leaves Zika intact. And none of this, you know, Balamor idea of a miyun lizika. That part of the Rambam is very consistent, but then the Rambam ends up with a very remarkable chiddush. And that is that legabe kalaso, there's no akira lemafreya, or the akira lemafreya, which is matir provim, including oker, right, the very status of eshesach, right, doesn't apply equally to kalasa. So since he reads the Gemara this way, there's even greater pressure, let's say, on the Rambam to explain why kalasa should be different. And dafka in this case, remember, not in a routine case, in a regular case where, you know, miyun takes place and there's no yibum, so that's going to be matir kalaso to the father as well. It just makes things a little harder even. It's only in a case of yibum where the nefila, right, guess reinforces kala, or, you know, okay, say it that way. It's only there, or nirika kalaso, however you want to say it, it's only there where we have this thing. Yeah. Say that again, it's the only place. Amar Sayin? It could be. It says Nirika Kalaso. I mean, some Rishonim say Mar Sayin explicitly. The Ram doesn't say Mar Sayin. The question is it really true that, that the only. I mean, it's based on the fact that what? That. I mean, because he's the father, because the father's wringing his hands at the funeral. And you know, going over to his, katana, daughter-in-law, and giving her, soothing words, and the uncle or the, right, what does that mean exactly, right? Oh, okay, so we'll get to Taz in just a second, but Taz doesn't say that.
Well,
he only goes there Mar Sinai because of the other, but he ends up having to, so we'll get to it in just a second. You may be 100% correct. I'm sure that's what most people, say for the Rambam. I'm just pointing out, basically what I'm pointing out is that there are three interpretations of Shmuel. Okay. One is the Baal HaMor, which is very important. There's something very appealing about the Baal HaMor, and there's also something very mechudash about the Baal HaMor, both in the reading of the Gemara to answer the Ramban's question, and about Tzoros, as well. As well as just in the, in the scope and character both of Zika and of Miyun. That's really the main thing I'm saying. The Ramban, Udime, that's the majority of Rishonim, they also, have a very fascinating reading of Shmuel, and one which is consequential in terms of this Mixas Akiras. Whoa. What are we trying to get there?
I was going to get to Taz. My bad.
We don't have that on the Bar Ilan?
They don't have that.
I think they do.
Check again.
No? Oh, I see.
In the new one, in 20 they put it on, it might already be on this end.
Ah.
So I was gonna
they only have the Taz in
Yoredeya.
In Yoredeya. Well, yeah, it doesn't help. I mean, Ebenezer, they only have Shmuel. What do they have in Ebenezer? This is Shmuel and the Chalkis Mechalkei.
I mean, probably more than that.
And the
Okay. We'll have to put it in order. Okay. So the point is that the Ramban has Kiddushim, and the Rambam certainly has, I think, is trying to avoid those Kiddushim, but ends up having to contend, with the Chiddush of the Zohar. So let's talk about that a little bit more for just a minute. Again, we also noted that the Achronim asked why the Rambam left out the Gemara on Kuf Ches Amud Beis, and the Lech HaMishnah suggests that it might be connected to his original Shita. Etc. Okay. So what are we going to do for the Rambam? Before we get even to that, just to point out the Beis Shmuel you do have, though, right?
Yeah.
So we can just get the Beis Shmuel up there for a second. I think we assign that also. Kuf Ayin Gimel Yudches. But the Beis Shmuel does us a good turn in that he just makes explicit what we already understood, which is that according to the, there's a huge afkamina if you hold like the Rambam, or if you hold like, do you mind, Ari, just to, or if you hold like the Ramban or the Ime, and that is whether or not she is Muteris Lashuk or not. That's according to the Ramban, certainly according to the Balamor, but even according to the Ramban, right, basically, she needs Chalitza. The issue isn't just, her relationship, to the brothers. Whereas according to the Rambam, right, the Muteris La'achim is because of the, across the board, Akira Sa'isha Sluma Freya, and therefore she's Muteris La'shuk. There's just no Zika. There never was a Zika. Yeah, go ahead. You don't mind? But that's a big chiddush. So then she's mutaris. She's a zakuka liibum or a chalitza, and she is a sur l'shuk. Fine, by more mochamos. So in addition to the conceptual argument which we just discussed a minute ago, there are significant nafkamina, right, again, for the Balamor, we understand, certainly they're nafkamina, because even the brother himself, even if there's only one brother, for example, according to the Balamor, but according to the Ramban and the other Rishon, if there's only one Yavam, and there was a Miyun to that Yavam, so then she would be Muteris L'shuk. Right, according to the Balamor, she's still Zakuka, L'chalitza. But according to the Rambam, the point is, even if there are multiple brothers, she is Muteris L'shuk, according to the Rambam, and not so, even according to the Ramban Udine. Right? Yeah. In Kay, Nishmanami de Muteris L'shar Krovim, L'fizeh, Teima L'machav, then he has an important question that he thinks is a steer in the Shulchan Aruch, because in Simon Kuflin, hey, Sifyon Aleph, right, there's the machlokas for the muteris l'shar krova. Mashum v'sfira le'ikar karabam, the muteris l'shar krova. And kei muchach to leisa hazika, the ein sar chalitza. And here, which is what this Beit Shmuel is talking about in this context, sasa mupasak, keshita saposka v'tzricha chalitza mishar achim. So if we get a chance, maybe we'll take a stab at it. But that's an interesting point, right? If there are three shitos and there are nafkamina, and if the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rambam, then he shouldn't be inconsistent when it comes to, the most obvious nafkamina. So does the Shulchan Aruch have like a different read on the Rambam? Does he understand with Fikach, that there is like a inochanami, it's midin zika, but if you didn't have a certain view about miun the krovim and yibum in general, somehow that would affect your perspective on whether there's Zika la'achim too. I'm just giving you the outlines of what probably needs to be said, and hopefully we'll return to it a little bit later on. Right. In other words, maybe the Shulchan. I don't think it's necessarily pshat in the Rambam, but it seems like the Shulchan Aruch, did not understand the Rambam the way that I think most people understood it, and certainly the way the Beis Shmuel understood it, namely that the Lefikach is based on Akiras Nisuin Arishonim, and therefore there is no Zika. It sounds like the Shulchan Aruch understood that you could mix the two shitas, that you could hold that the Achim are Midin Zika, but the fact that there is an Akira, let's say, Lamafreya, right, for one of the brothers, or the fact, that there remains a Zika in itself, right, highlights something about the nature of miyun, which in the case of yibum justifies iser krogan. It sounds like that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, a different read on the Rambam, more complicated read of the Rambam's shita. Okay, so we'll get back to that. Okay. So let's talk about the Taz for a minute. So the Taz, as we know, in Kuf Nun, were you able to get it? Kuf Nun Hei Vav. Basically, what he does, Ariel, you saw it? Sam?
Yeah, they're all gone. It's different between.
Before we say what he says, what he does, what does he really do to the Rambam?
He lowers the scope of the book.
Yeah. He reformulates the Rambam in such a way that, you know, the what seems to be the exception ends up being mostly the rule. In other words, the din of Kalaso is really the norm. And the Lefikach, with respect to the Achim, right, ends up being the exception. I guess if you interpret that way, right, and then you could say something along the lines of what Akiva said, what Akiva was saying, what he was saying, partially in connection to the Taz, right, or the Bach at least. So then, of course, there would also be another solution to the stira in Shulchan Aruch, right? Because you don't have to really say that you know that there is definitely an akira lamafreya, you know, across the board. Okay. But the two suggestions that the Bach, that the Taz makes, one in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, the other one his own, is a little more expansive. But basically, that's what. That's what they have in mind. What does he say in the name of, specifically, in the name of the Bach?
The Bach basically reads the Rambam against everybody else that wrote the Rambam.
Right. In what way?
The Bach says that when the Taras Hashar Krovav doesn't mean Krovay Hanes, it means Krovay Yavam.
The Taz already says that, but I think the Bach says even less than that. I think he says it just means Achim.
I mean, Krovav means his Krovim, but no other Krovim other than Bach.
Yeah. So the Fikach is the sum. The Fikach isn't other examples of it. The Fikach is the end of it. Okay. And what's it based on? So why should we make this distinction? Why Dafka Achim and nobody else? That's his radical rereading of the Rambam. Why Dafka Achim?
The Bach.
Yeah. Well, in both, really, but especially in the Bach in the beginning. Because Achim, anyway,
they're
mutter mishas nefila. Since they were mutter mishas nefila, and this whole thing anyways is a din d'rabbanan, and if you want to mix in the Maris Ayin, we could do that too. I'm not sure if the Bach does. I don't remember the language. Do we have the language or not in the end?
The Taz has the Maris Ayin.
What?
I think the Taz is more focused on Maris Ayin
than the Bach. I'm not sure even if the Taz meant it that way, but we'll see the Taz in just a second. So the Bach basically says that all the Rambam meant was Fima to the Achim, since Eishes Ach Mishas Nefila was Mutter based on Zika. Frankly, that works, I should just add, that works much better with Hutra than it does with Dechuya, because obviously if you can't, I'm not saying it can't work Midin Dechuya, but it's obviously more palatable if you say it's a Din in Hutra, because obviously if you're arguing Dechuya, so there's an Isra Eishes Ach, it's just, you know, overridden. It didn't go anywhere, and really there was no change. But if you say the Isra Eishes Ach for a time didn't exist, so, you know, to say we're not going to bring back Isra Eishes Ach, even though we bring back, the din of Isra Krovim, right, that's something that makes some degree of sense. I don't think the Taz is so different, really. I think the Taz just takes it a step beyond. Right, what does the Taz say? Not just the brothers, but
even sons of the brothers.
The Krovei brothers. So if you have, for example, Eishes Achei Aviv, right, that's what it is. Eishes Achei Aviv, because at least he's saying, well, the Lefikach of the Rambam is the brothers, or the Krovim that we're referring to before is the anybody who was Asur Mitam Kurva Agav, the brothers. So, for example, when I just say Eshes Ache Aviv, let's say the son of the Yavam, right? The Yavam's son, if you can picture that, right? I don't think I haven't used the board all year, right? It's getting to the end here. We have to do one board a year. That's our rule. But imagine not using the board all year in the context of Yavamas, right? And that's an accomplishment. Okay. So we'll make sure to use it, but not for something, you know, we're not going to waste it on something case-related. Right. So the point is that the Ben Hayavam, the Ben Hayavam vis-a-vis, you know, his, you know, Eshes HaChayaviv. So the Taz says, that's the Shar Krovim. But, again, that's a little more palatable in the Rambam than the Bach, but it comes at a price, you know. What's the price? The explanation. What?
Also not for me, not for the Taz. Because the Pashto Rambam would say that the Eishasach and the Emo of the Mace would still be Mutar. If you assume that there was a Hatzer on called Korvei HaMace, the Eishasach and the Emo should be Mutar, or Achid Me'imo, sorry, should be Mutar, the Yavam, should be Mutar, the Yavam. According to Taz will come out, the Achid Me'imo, whose Isser is Noveah from the Mace and not from the Yavam, or not from the Achim, sorry, would be Asuros, according to the Taz.
Say that one more time?
I mean, according to the way Taz sets
I don't want to use up my board on this, but so you have to make it clear.
According to the way Taz sets it up, all the Isurin Korva that are Noveah from the Achim are the ones to whom the Achim have a Hetzer on, are the ones to whom
there'll be Hetzer Korva.
Will there be Hetzer Korva there for their sons or their relatives? But let's say there are any retained Yisurei Korva from the Mace that would still have been Shaykh according to the Rambam of Hatter, you now lose. Let's say the Mace is Achim Mina'im, which would be the Taz would be Asuros, but the Pashto Rambam would say those are Mutaros to the Yisurei.
Those would be Mutaros.
According to the Taz.
In Sibyl Chowder. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I didn't mean what is the Chiddush of the Taz as opposed to the normal reading of the Rambam. In terms of, you know, expansion of cases, for sure there are quite a few. That's what you're pointing out. Meaning, what I'm saying is false. The Bach limits the Heter Kurva to the brothers. It's very hard to read that in the words of Fikach, obviously. But I guess conceptually, at least you could say, what I meant was this. Conceptually, at least you could say what he says, which is, you know, the Easter of Eishes Ach, anyways, changed everything, assuming especially for Twitra, you know, Mishas Nefila. So even though now, you know, you end up with, with this, whatever you want to call it, a Marasayan issue, whatever issue, you know, it is, a more fundamental issue, you know, a Colosso type of situation, right? But what do you mean? In the case of the father, again, he was, you know, giving nekama, and he was, you know, doing what a good father-in-law, you know, should do under such circumstances. And like all of a sudden, she's not his daughter-in-law anymore, and he can marry her. You know, that seems obscene. Right, but with respect to, what appeared to be their eshesach, so what? I mean, she was muteres b'toras eshesach, and now she's muteres b'toras nachris. Right, not the end of the world. After all, she really was Muteris anyway, you know, during that period, during the period of the Zika. Right. But according to the Taz, who's saying that it isn't just the brothers, it's anybody who comes through the brothers. So what's particularly interesting is, of course, it still isn't as expansive as the simple shot in the Rambam, that it's everybody but Colosso. That for sure, and the capes that you gave is a good example of it. But what I want to add is as follows: the Easter of Eishes Ache Aviv, right, didn't go anywhere when the Yavam, the father, right, had a heter Eishes Ach. Right, everybody have that. In other words, the father during the Zika before the Miun was permitted, not permitted, even obligated to do Yibam or Chalitza, he had a Zika with this woman. And let's assume even that it's Hutra. Right? But his son, I mean, we're talking about, sometimes you have to, in these cases, I have to remember, he has a son of age at the time. That's the Yavam is 40 years old. Let's say, and he has a 20-year-old son. I don't really care how old he is or whatever, you understand. He has a 20-year-old son. Now, when the 40-year-old father, the brother, his brother dies, leaves a widow, no children, this is a Zika Liyibum case. At that point, it's Hutra. Right? But it's not Hutra for his son. His son can't marry, not just because she's a Zakuka. The son's Iser, Ashes, Achi, Aviv didn't go anywhere. That never changed. Right? So, in a sense, in that sense, the Taz is more ambitious. The Taz is more ambitious than the Bach in the reading of the Rambam. Not as ambitious as the Rambam appears to us to be. That's Sam's point, and that's 1,000% true. That we know. But what I'm adding is that there's another Chiddush, and that is that if you want to give the explanation, you know, that the exception is not Kalosso. Kalosso is the rule. Right, the exception is right relatives through the brother. And why is that so? So the Taz said, were you able to get it? Oh, you do have it. Right? What is it, Zion? Which one is it? No, first he quotes the following, Morikami. In the beginning of the piece. Then that's a Rambam. A Kotsam. Beis Yosef, it looks like. Morikami Zal. Kotsam, the Gama Rambam. The tour. Logitiru the Shar Krovim. El Achim Bilvad. And that's the most limited. Right? Mitzah Sabal, Mitzah Yibum, right? And therefore, it's not, you don't have to reinvent the new Easter. Again, it doesn't say anything about my side. The Enelosh and Sovo came, says the Taz. The Kosav Sam, Luteris, the Shar Krovav, Mashma Fidon, the Ben, Echad, Nehayivanim. He's getting ready for his own, you know? V'lohasura alav mishum eishas achi aviv v'kein abiyuz kol adidolim v'divere rabam rak shecholku alav d'mayishnam in aviv mishar something
mayishnam in aviv zeodah
shayishom v'shem v'kikar in the Shulchan Aruch v'be'emes tzarchin ala ramban v'matirin kam b'ben yavam v'nili esayti v'svir lal rabam v'tur kibidim na Torah v'teres v'aviv I feel the chaye by law. My father has a heter. Dein kedushin tosu biktana el drabanan tikru lo nisuin dinela asura la aviv ibnei shehi kalaso. Right, midibrem kolzaman kolzeh shalom b'nei nu biyavam kolzman shalom b'nei nu biyavam. Very good. That's a low. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You're good. Hishtanut beiser kalaso, right? Midibrayim bein b'chayi bayla bein achar misas. But there's no shift in the status. Tamid hoisa asura midibrayim, right? Mitzad iser kalaso. Abu Bashar Krogim Kagon Ben Achi Baila Shahisar Olav Aishas Achi Aviv Imkain Haisar Ba, right? Mitzad Aviv Shehu Achim Shalames Ubaze Yeshishanus Tabakai Habal Haisa Asura Midrabanan Al Achi Habal Acham Moso Hutra Midrabanan because of the Zika. Ela she'al b'no ha'isa asura mitzad eishes achi aviv. That's my problem. Because the hishtanos, there is a hishtanos mitzad the mechayiv, but there's no hishtanos mitzad the isur. The kirin chakein lo choshu. You're right. Akiva's right. Lamaris ayin v'hamiyun alayavam mo'ela zehaben achid shalim shakha isur shal devrayim achar miyun biyavam kirin chakein isur machmas avit shu achid shalmeis. Ubo hayashinui leheter al kain lo gozru achar hamiyun klal kain nirali noam. Oh, sorry, Tam. I was going to say Tam Noah. Tam. Okay, I was trying to be nice. Tam Arambam v'tur. Okay. Kosu shaper lepikach the Tam heter shar krove v'ache hames him tuim zebatem hashen kain ba'avus shomeis right tikish dibib. The Nishar, rather, Yisur Alamis, Kivin Shloi Yavisham, Shinui, Achre Meis Abal, Yisur, Hi Mitzad Abal, Hameis, Vizeh, Chiluk Nacham. Basically, he's working with what the Bach said, in the sense that the Hishtanus issue, right? But you're right, he's adding the point of Marzayin. But the reason that he needs the Marzayin, I think, is precisely because of this problem, right? Because the advantage of the Bach, although it's a much more circumscribed reading of the Rambam, is that okay? So you know you wanted to say, oh, le'inyan chalos, eishes ach, right? We're not going to create an eishes ach because of miyun. We're just not going to get rid of an eishes ach machmas iyun. But there's no eishes ach anyway here because hutra. And I think you really have to say, or it's much better if you say hutra, right? But then the problem is the Rambam is so limited. A, right? The exception is bigger or as big as the rule. And the lefikach isn't the lefikach, it's the whole story. But when you say lefikach, you should say, oh, they have a certain, you know, principle, you know, and therefore there's an application. Right? If the whole the application is the whole sum and essence of the principle, you know, what have you really accomplished? Okay. So the point is that's the problem. So that's why the Taz wants to expand it. It's still more limited than our unfettered reading of the Rambam. Uh-huh. Right, it's still based on the hishtanut, right? But he has to take a leap, right? The leap of faith here is that the mechayiv, namely, ache eishes ache aviv. First of all, that the mechayiv is achiv, in other words, or his father, the brother-in-law of the, you know, woman in question. That is the mechayiv. It isn't a direct. It's a agav. You have to say that, otherwise we can't even talk about it. And that since the agav has been hutrad, and there's a hishtan, there's a hishtanos in the mechayiv, even though he mentions my point, he doesn't, understandably, wants to sell this pshat in the Rambam, so he's not going to emphasize it too much. So intellectual honesty, you know, demands that we, you know, refer to it, which he does, and he's playing it down. He has every right to play it down. I think the reason that he's building up Marasayan is in order to play down that point. Okay, so that's the Taz. Anyway, it's very fascinating. Again, if you hold like the Bach or the Taz, right, again, the Stira that the Beit Shmuel spoke of, I think is addressed as well. Okay, so what I was trying to say was, my sense is that other people suggest something like this as well, is I wanted to bring this back to, you know, to the Reb Chaim idea. Right? To suggest that if miyun isn't a lamafreya lamafreya, again, this is Rabbanan, but miyun is a mekano l'habba lamafreya, right? So then, anything that highlights, right, not the legal past, you know, that, you know, but the historical past, or is Dovea from the historical past as opposed to the legal past, or however you want to say it, we've been saying it in different ways, right, still may be Kayam even after me. Now, again, it could be that this is still connected to Marzayin a little bit, remember, because you know, the other examples of this, which we'll speak of in just a moment, are more across the board cases. Okay, now we'll speak about Reb Chaim in 30 seconds, but Metzia, Hafaras Nedarim, Maisi Adayim, assuming that it's true, that, you know, you don't have to return those things, you know, the Mafreya, so that's true in every case of Miyu. To begin with, the issue of, you know, Kalos Aviv, and by extension, because the Gemara does equate them, right, Tsaras, you know, Mimaenes, or Tsaras Bito Mimaenes, as we understand, is only in the context of Yibo. So again, you need to add, because this is on a Drabbanan level, it's just a little bit easier to do this, but you need to add the point, you can call it Marasayan, you can, you know, say it's parallel to Marasayan, that, you know, the very fact, again, that it, you went through this stage, and that's a way of reading the Gemara, right? Again, there was a funeral. He was a father-in-law at the funeral, right? So the husband is out of the picture, and the krovim are still intact. You know, and now you're going to be ochre that lemafreya, right? So even the normal canons, you know, normally dictates with respect to what is lemafreya and what is mikanul haba lemafreya, in the case of Zika reinforcing, or you want to call it, say the Maariv Zion contributes to that, whatever it is, it changes the equation, you know, somewhat. Another way to say this might be that there are certain dinim which, when the husband is certainly alive, yet there was a miyun. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, let's say there are certain dinim that have two aspects. We'll call it that. One which flows, you know, more directly, you know, through his relationship with her, right? And the other, which you know, is kind of an artificially created relationship, you know, by means of that marriage, but which transcends it, right? Let's say there are two dinim, for example, in Isurei Korban. Right? We've been talking about this all year, right? You know, there's the one, you know, Megale Knaf, you know, Habal, with Taben or Ha'ach, you know, whatever the case may be. And let's say there's another aspect, part of the issue in some of these cases, to figure out, you know, which din there is, or are there two dinim, and whether they make a difference, you know, et cetera, right? Just like we talked about, you know, when we talked at the end of the first semester, when we went back to the Gemara in the beginning of the Masechta, right? For example, does the severity of the onesh, even in a situation where you have an onesh, and an isur and an onesh that applies, you know, bein bechaya, bein lacharmoso, right? But does it change? Right, if it changes, even after gerushin, let's say. After gerushin, bechaya, it's one thing. And, you know, lacharmoso, there's still an isur, but there's no longer any kares. Or any other such distinction. What does that mean? Right, either way, there's a gerushin. Right, so the implication seems to be that there are two dinim in some cases. So the point is that as long as he's alive, in terms of miyun, you might say that even if there are two dinim, you know, the primary din is based on the connection, you know, between, you know, the husband and his wife. And first and foremost, if that is benekar, then that is simply benekar. And you know, you're not going to have, when it's shayach, because he's alive, when it's shayach to have, like, the primary din, you know, you're not going to say that the secondary din is going to apply, but the primary din doesn't. But maybe, in the context of la'achar moso, right, so the only thing that you can talk about is the secondary din. You know, it's a din that was created by the artificial relationship. Let's see, you know, not Ashes Beno, but Kalaso. So what I'm saying is, as long as the son is alive, if there's no Ashes Beno, there's no Kalaso either. But when the son is out of the picture, and that's the reason that there's no Ashes Beno, right, then the possibility that there's a din of kalaso, even though there's no eishes b'no, right, is not unreasonable. That's kind of what happens, right, in the context. That would be a way without Mar Sinai, right, to say this idea. Namely, that, you know, once there is Yibum, which means that even after he dies, there's still Zika, there's still a din of Kalasso. If she was Kalasso, La'achar Misas B'no, so she wasn't Eisha's B'no, let's say, anymore, but she was Kalasso, so maybe Kalasso is not overridden, or is not written out, is a better way to say it, by even the Miun, which is Oker Lamapreya. The Miun, which is Oker Lamapreya, says that the Ishus is Nakar, and therefore Eshes B'no Dinim are Nakar. But maybe Kalasso, which was generated by her being Eshes B'no for a time, but went beyond that, went beyond the Ishus, so while the Ishus is Paka, the direct relationship, you know, is more of a Mikan Lahaba Lamafreya, Lamafreya part of that issue, and therefore is not Paka. Again, some of the Mefarshim Al HaTorah note, I think I saw this somewhere, a footnote recently, that the, I think the Malbim has this Arah, I've seen it elsewhere as well, that, you know, the Torah uses the expression, you know, Kalasso or Kalaskahi, you know, in addition to Eishes B'no. So that's exactly our issue. Again, it's exactly what we were talking about you know, the question of Kiddushin and the Suin, the question of, lightening up on the Onesh, La'achar Misas, you know, Habal, the Sugis in the very beginning, the Gemara's discussion, right, on Nundalarud days, when the Gemara says, Oda Havamina and the Yerushalmi, right, maybe Eishes Ach, right, is, you know, maybe the exception is not Yibum. You know, maybe the exception you might have thought would be that, you know, Alpha Pishayesh Gerushin, right, it's still a Kiddush, there's still an Yisra Eishes Ach, but Bemisas Ha'ach, right? You need Xeris Akasus to prove that Eishes Ach applies even La'achar Misa B'mokom Shiyesh Badin. So the Achronim discuss the question, do you need Xeris Akasus for all Krovim that are La'achar Misas Habal, or only for some of them? I think Gemara has this discussion in Sanhedrin. So you might say, it depends. This has, you know, been our topic. To the extent that Ishus generates, you know, connections, you know, agav the Ishus, agav the Baal, but they then become direct relationship connections, right? It's easier to say that even Lachar Gerushin and even Lachar Misa, you know, while it was initiated in that way, right, the shame, assuming that the shame continues to exist. So the shame Eishes HaBen, right, is more precarious, more dependent upon his, you know, either being her actual husband or at least being alive, than the shame Kalasso is. I'm just saying that because I'm trying to explain something. You know, if it had been across, you know, the, you know, across the, you know, you know, all cases, just like Mitzia and Aparis the Darim, and Maisi Adayim, you know, in Reb Chaim's analysis, then it would just be easier to say, well, this is one of those dinim where past history matters, not just the present, you know, version, or the remaining rewritten version, you know, of it. But because there's also the factor here of, you know, what the Gemara says, which is, well, after the son died, she was still Kalasso, right? In Akhanami, you know, if the Chayav, you know, there had been a Miyun, there wouldn't be an Iser Kalasso. So it can't just be a din in Kalasso straight, like it could be a din in Maisi Adayim, like it could be a din in Mitzia, like it could be a din in Hafar Sadar. There has to be the additional explanation, either on a Maris Ayin level that accentuates it. You know, again, he was, you know, he was, this relationship continued in a meaningful manner, la'achar misaso, or, and, as long as the son's alive, and the primary is Eishes Beno, then the kalaso, you know, is going to be paka if the Eishes Beno is paka. Right? But, when there's no Eishes Beno, and all there is kalaso, maybe kalaso isn't paka. That would be the other explanation. Okay, so that is the idea that we want to explain. Now, to say this and to say it in connection to Reb Chaim, again, I'm not, when I speak about Reb Chaim here, I don't mean it to be canonical. I'm taking the idea. I don't say that Reb Chaim would have said this or said this. Certainly didn't say it as far as I know. Would have said it, I don't know either. I'm just saying, you know, to say something of that idea would mean to say it in this kind of way, in addition to the adjustment that I just made, which is important, I think you have to have another adjustment that I alluded to before. And that is getting back to that piece. All Reb Chaim himself says in that piece is that there's a difference between issues of the past and issues of the present. And in terms of what he means specifically as he applies it there, right, he's talking specifically about, a timeline, like a very specific timeline. Okay, so what is that piece in Reb Chaim? Well, let me talk about it for a minute. What I'm suggesting, just to make it clear, is to go further than that. And that is to figure out in a much more, you know, it's much more of a challenge to figure this out, you know, which dinim, as I say, depend on, you know, the present official history, the rewritten one, acknowledged rewritten one, and which dinim depend on the past history. Now, if that's true, that distinction, right, could ignore in either direction the actual chronology of events, the actual timeline. In other words, here, for example, we're talking about, you know, his, you know, the father-in-law's relationship to his daughter-in-law, you know, which no longer, you would think, exists, as opposed to Reb Chaim's case of Mitzia, Maisi, Adayim, and Afaris Nadarim, you know, things that are ready, or you want to collect, you want to undo the Afaris Nadarim that he did before the Miyun. You want to collect, you know, the Maisi Adayim and the Mitzia. You want to go back and uproot all those things. Let the past be the past, because even now that the official version has changed, we don't deny that the past, you know, unfolded differently. But anything having to do with moving forward and applying, you know, the status to the future, that we don't do. Krovim, that's Reb Chaim. I'll show you the inside in just a second. Now, what I'm saying is, no, there are things that may have happened in the past, but once you wipe out the past, even with an official rewriting, maybe the official rewriting determines even as far as events that took place sequentially before the Miyun. And by the same token, there might be events that took place sequentially before the Miyun, right? But the very fact that we don't deny that they once happened, and they once, you know, used to be part of the official history, you know, so maybe those things remain. So what I'm saying is a lot more ambitious than what Reb Chaim says, at least in his application of this idea in the Chibur. But you need to say what I'm saying, right, in order, you need to say what Reb Chaim says in order to establish that Miyun isn't Lamafreya Lamafreya, and that there are two dinim. You need to go beyond that in order to apply it to some of the issues that I'm applying to. In light of that, I think you could also reassess a little bit the discussion of the Rambam and the Ravid that Reb Chaim had. So what is that discussion? Let's discuss that for a couple of minutes. Dov, you saw it? You get a chance? Perek Beis, Natan? Perek Beis, so what's the background, firstly? Let's discuss that quickly. It's a very important Reb Chaim. You can't discuss Miyun.
The Rambam actually does that Mishas Meida
Yeah. Well, let's just get the background first. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, if we could just flash that up, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, and then Perek Tes Halacha Yadalid. Right, it's the end of a very long piece in Reb Chaim, but it basically goes as follows. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, talks about what? Banim Harein Kesimam, which is actually a sugya that we're going to get to very soon anyway. Right, so Banim Harein Kesimam. Okay. What does that mean?
Okay.
If she gives birth, then she, or... Oh. So the question is, once she's a gedola, there's no longer any miyun. Right? The Rambam's not talking about miyun in Perek Beis Halacha Tes. He's just talking about Banim Harein Kesimam. His formulation is that once she gives birth, then you know that she is a gedola, even if she doesn't have simanim. Okay, that's the Rambam. Right? Abashi Yolda Acher Shnei Matzor Yishana Afki Shalo Hivya Simon. No. That's, yeah. Banim Harein, okay, correct. Abashi Yolda, correct. If she's 12, then that's a question why the Rambam also needs the Shanim, but that's correct. The Rambam needs Shanim and Simanim. But Banim are Kasimanim, even if she doesn't have other Simanim. The Ravid says nothing. Question, is there a problem in this Rambam or not? So, anticipating of the analysis of Reb Chaim and others, not necessarily. Can you see from this Rambam whether or not Banim Kesimanim depends on Leida, or Banim Kesimanim depends on Shasa Ibor, pregnancy? Well, the Rambam mentions, right, Habas Yolda. However, in theory, he could have mentioned Bashi Yolda for a different reason. Not because Leida alone is Simanim, but Noach, what's the other reason? Really, in theory, maybe he could have said Ibor is a Siman. However, maybe you need Ibor of a Vlad Shel Kayoma. Right, so until there's a Leida, you don't know that the Ibor is the Siman. So from this Rambam alone, this is very important to going forward, there's no proof positive what the Rambam thinks about Banim Harein Kesimanim, whether it depends on Ibor or Leida. Although, since he doesn't spell that out, you certainly would get the impression, all things being equal, that it is Shas Leida. The Rambam in Perek Yud Tes, Halacha Yud Dalid, on the other hand, speaks about what, Natan? What? That's what the Ravid is. And that's where he speaks about our topic. What's our topic? Miyun. So you have, the Ram talks about what does he say there? You know? What's Perek Yud Tes Hilchos Ishos? What's that chapter about? I mean, it's not about Simanim. That's Perek Beis. What?
Is it about Meir?
Meir
or
not? No. Miyun is treated in the Rambam a little bit. We should look at that. I'm not going to finish today, so I'll give you just a few more things. Look, in Perek Dalet Hilchos Ishus, and especially in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Gerushin. Exactly. Tanai Ksuba. Very good. Right? Ishus, Kedushin is till Perek Yud. Perek Yud is already in the Suin. And then you have a lot of prakam in the Rambam about Tanai Ksuva. So Perek Yud Tes is Tanai Ksuva. So the Rambam there is speaking about Mizonos. The Rambam says that the Chi of Mizonos, Lachar, Misas Habal, Misas Ha'av, is... Actually, look at, before you get to Yud Tes Yudah, look at Yud Tes Yud, that's the background. Right? Just go up, if you could just... the real halakha is Yud Dalet. I just want to get the background for a second. Oh, you know what? Forget it. I have it. Let's go back to Yud Dalet. Go back to Yadalad. Rambam in Ishus Yud Tes Yud says Mitznai Ksuva Shetiena Habanos Nizonos Minichse Avien Achar Moso Ad Shekud Ad She Is Arsu O Ad She Yivgoru. That's the background. One of the Tznai Ksuva is that a daughter, he gets to eat from the father's property even after he dies. In other words, she goes to the brothers who inherit, and she, you know, has to be sustained by them. That's the background. That's Halacha Yud. Then Halacha Yud Dalet, the Rambam says, and if you have a regular daughter from a regular marriage, that's a davar pasha. And let's say you have a daughter right, from an unusual configuration? Any biological daughter, or only daughters in the context of Ishus, and if so, which kind of Ishus? So here the Rambam says, go ahead, Yudalit. Ah, something my NS. Yeah. So what does Rambam say? That Bas Mima Enes gets Mizonos, as opposed to Bas Yavama, right? Bas Shnia, right? Bas Arusa, Bas Anusa. Yeah. They get sustained B'chai Ha'av, but not L'achar Mosa. So here the Ravid says what? Omer Abraham, Mash Eino Kosav. What the pashtus is, what does that mean? You can't have a case because there's a bas mima enes is a stira. Minei obey, the second that she is a mother, she's no longer capable of miyun. Right? So I bet there's a Gemara that seems to ask this question. Gemara in Ksuvis. Right? Yeah, what's the Gemara Safek? Not whether the daughter of a Mima Enes eats her father's Mizonos, but whether a Mima Enes who returns to her father's home after Miyun, and she's still a Ketana, in other words, she's 7 years old, 9 years old, whatever she is, can she go back to eating Mizonos despite the fact that for a while she had this arranged Miyun Kiddushin, or not? That's the halacha. What is Rambam hold about that, by the way? That din that the Rabbi is talking about?
Can't.
What?
Can
or can't? Can't. Rambam halacha tazayin, right? Nise sabas umiana, right? Onis garsha, onis almana, afil hi shomeres yavam, ho b'chazo the base of the ava, dain labogra, reizan izonis minikse avia, adjetivgra, adjetzar. Not only she, but even this Garsha and this Almana. Okay, what's the same as Garsha and this Almana? We're less impressed with Miana. Actually, the Kesav Mishnah asks the question, if the Gemara and Nun Gimel and Beis and Ksuvis is really wondering about this, and they say, oh, we're teaching this Chiddush. So the Kesav Mishnah says, that's what the Gemara is talking about, what's the Chiddush? Once we know that this Garsha, right, or this Almana, from a real marriage, what do you mean by real marriage? The father, right, married off his daughter. So then the kiddushin is kiddushin daraisa. So if we know that in the case of kiddushin daraisa, la'achar get, he can return, she can return to his home, and he's still obligated in mizonos, then kal v'chomer, that's true, in a kiddushin darabanan, which is ne'akar l'mafreya, miyun. Right, so the kesav mishnah's kasha is, if you really think that's what the Gemara is talking about, then why does the Gemara think it's a Chiddush and Miyun at all? So the Kesav Mishnah answers, very interesting answer. Kesav Mishnah says, because we might have thought that in the case of this Garsha and this Almana, it wasn't her decision. So Nebuch, you know, she's the victim. She got, you know, her husband died, fate. Her husband divorced her, you know, bad choice for a husband. Father's bad choice, apparently. Right? So in either case, you know, it's not her fault, and she's back in the zone. But the Miyun girl, not the mean girl, but the Miyun girl, right? You know, she had a perfectly wonderful marriage, you know, if she was 7 years old, you know, to her, you know, 63-year-old husband. You know, so what was the problem? It's like, you know, the Ramban's comment about the Ibum and the Chalitza, you know. You can do chalitza if there's only one option, but if there are two, you should have to do yibum. So, like, what's with her anyway? Anyway, so she chooses to end the marriage. She should go back to the father's mizonos. I mean, the father's estate. That's a kesav mishnah. Interesting. I think that's a very big chiddush. I mean, if that is a chiddush, if that's considered to be a chiddush. Now, if you take the view, this has nothing to do with Reb Chaim, just throwing this out because it fits into our topic. If you take the view that Niyun is a Lamafreya, right, it's just very hard to understand why the Gemara had a Safek. Unless you say it like the Kesef Mishnah did, and you have to, you know, almost dramatize it. Not quite to the point that I did, but, you know, close enough. Right? Because if an Ishus that ends, you know, doesn't eliminate the responsibility of the state to support her, then why would you think that something that wasn't even end up that, if it's Lamafreya, it's not even a blip in the radar screen. Right? There never was a marriage, and there never was, you know, there never was a marriage when it was happening, possibly, and certainly once there was a Miyan, there never was a marriage. So she's a Katana, the next Seaviyah, what's the problem? The very discussion in the Gemara, if that's what the Gemara is all about, may strongly point in the direction that Le'inyan, Kama Devarim, right, Miyun, is Mikano Labal, I'm afraid, not Lamar. The Reb Chaim doesn't mention this example. Okay. But this would be one, by the way, of the ones that I want to suggest. Meaning we're on a temporal level, on a sequential level, right? We're talking about what happens after Miyun. You might have thought, even after Miyun, she can't go back home and get Mizonos, right? Because she had this other marriage. So unless you say like the Kesef Mishnah that it's like, you know, she brought it on herself, that's a remarkable, again, the halacha, it's not a problem. Okay, anyways, the point is that the Ravid seems to be asking, how can there be Miyun and Leida? Right? That's a steer, Minei Ubeit. That seems to be the Ravid's question. So the Magid Mishnah's answer, in both places, both in Perek Beis Halacha Tes, and here, Perek Yutes, says, look what I wrote earlier, but he writes in both places. I should also add the Lechem Mishnah here, and Bear disagrees with the Magid Mishnah. Maybe we'll speak about it for a minute tomorrow, on Thursday. We'll try to finish all this up. The Magid Mishnah's answer is, oh, you see from here that what? That the Rambam meant what he wrote in Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, meant what he wrote in what sense? That Leida isn't just a shiur in Zara Shel Kayama Ibur, but the Simanim, Harem Kibanim, or Banim rather, Harem Kisimanim, is a din in Leida, not in Ibur. And if that's the case, then Ibur, you can have a Muberes, and she could be Mamanis as a Muberes. So she has a child, it's his child. Right? It's the father's child. And there's still Miyun. It's Bas Mima'enes. That's the Rambam's. Oh, but there's another problem with the Rambam. Notice the Kalim here don't ask. And that is, why should the halakha even be true? I already weighed in on the Havamina, and the way the Rambam himself would have to read halakha. It's not just the Ravid, the Rambam holds that way too. But you might say the Gemara at least. It's not a problem. But to answer the discussion of the Kesef Mishnah, I already weighed in with Halakha Tazayin. But what about Halakha Yudalit? Right, the very Halakha itself. Why? Remember, if she's a Basa Rusa or a Basa Nusa, Ein Lamazonos Hakar Misa Saviyah. Oh, but if she's a Bas Mima Enes, after the Miyun, obviously. So, why don't you say Nekar Lamafreya? It's like Bas Anusa. It's outside of marriage. The Ishus is Paka Lagamri. That's the question. That's not the question that Reb Chaim starts with. Reb Chaim starts with the following question. Oh. Natan? No, that's leave that aside for the moment. He asks a question for the Ravid. He wants to know, why does the Ravid Masig here in Perek Yutes and not in Perek Beis? If the Ravid's point was that you can't have a bas mema'enes, that's a stira mina'yubay. So why did he wait till Parakitas? Should have jumped in Parakitas. I'm sorry, why did he wait till Parakitas? Should have jumped in Parakbeis? So here Reb Chaim gives two answers. Right? One answer is what we said before, which is, you know what, Parakbeis in its own right doesn't prove that the Rambam holds the difference between Leida and Ibor. Because in Parakbeis you might just say that Leida is the Shior in Zera Shel Kayama, Ibor Shel Kayama. And once that's true, then Banim Kasimanim applies Bishas Ibor. But once the Rambam tells you that there's such a thing as a Bas Mima Enes, so then you know for sure that the only Hechatimtzi is if Banim Kasimanim depends on Leida and not Ibor. So the Ravid was circumspect. He waited and bided his time, you know, till Parakitas. And here's where he asked the question. By the way, Reb Chaim's question per se is a good question, meaning even though normally we say that the Ravid doesn't have to be masig on every Rambam that he disagrees with, but this is a little bit of a different question. Here the question is, if he disagrees and he's commenting already, why not comment on the earlier one than on the later one? Okay. But the answer is a good answer, the first answer. It's more obvious here. This is the Makom HaPatish. Per se, there's no kashpid, you know, jumped on the other one. They would have said, oh, that's an unfair assumption about the, you know, intention of the Rambam. Okay, fine. Oh. But his second perspective is, you know, where it gets interesting. So he says, or Inami, maybe the Ravid agrees with the Rambam that Banim Kisimanim depends on Leida, not Ibor. That's why he didn't Masig on Perek Beis, even though it sounds like the Rambam holds that way there. What the Ravid was really bothered by was not the reality of there being Bas Mima Enes, but the din that Bas Mima Enes would be subject to Mizonos. It doesn't sound that way in the Ravid. Mizonos Mitzayek Suva. Doesn't sound that way in the Ravid. Right? So Reb Chaim says the following. He says, oh, we have to take a step back and understand what Mion is all about. After all, that's where he says, Maisi Adayim, Mitzia, Afaris Nadarim. Did anybody ever say, you know, that that Mion, right, is Oker Bizlam afraid? You have to start making Cheshbonos. Right, no one ever said it. The Rambam does say, in Perikid Aleph, Halacha Dalid, Azuchos Gerishin, that Mion is not a get. Had it been a get, there would be Yisr Krovim. It's not a get. And therefore, it's Akira Lemafreya, and therefore there's no Psulei Kurva. Which, of course, is a very interesting line, right, and given our whole analysis about, you know, given the Zika and the Yibum Kalosso, you know, being an exception to that rule. But the Rambam introduces it by saying, oh, it's not a get. So what, Linyan Kalosso, it's like a get? Not necessarily, that's what we talked about before. So Reb Chaim says, yes, it's true that it's Akira L'mafreya. But no one ever said these other things. Why? Because the difference between L'mafreya and Mikanel Haba L'mafreya. Now his difference is, so he says, so if that's the case, so let's look at Mizonos. He says, the Ravid is of the opinion, or then the question is as follows. Mizonos is something which the Bas is Zocha only Mishas Leida or even Mishas Ibur. So Chaim says it seems to, in his opinion, that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. So when the Ravid said that it's impossible, he didn't mean per se there can never be Mizonos in the context of Mion. He agrees with the Yisod of the Rambam, this is Reb Chaim speaking, that Leida not Ibor is Koveya for Simonim. He agrees with the Yisod of the Rambam that there's a difference in Mion between Mikanu Lahaba Lamafreya and Lamafreya Lamafreya. He would agree with the Rambam that if Mizonos began in the past, right, that it would be covered by this distinction between the Mafreya and Mikanu Lahabala Mafreya. Where the Raiva disagrees is, the Raiva says you can't have a Bas, not that you can't have a Bas Nima Enes, you can't have a Bas Nima Enes who is Zocha B'Mizonos, because Zechia B'Mizonos only begins at Leda. And Leda is post-Miyun. That's how Reb Chaim reads the Raiva. However, two things. Number one, this is already an escalation of Reb Chaim's own Yesod. Because, good, we're not making cheshbonos about old Afaris Nadarim, old Metzias, and old Maisei Adayim. But we are suggesting that her eating the Mizonos, if it predates, if the Zchus, in other words, predates the Miyun, will continue L'achar Miyun. I'm not saying that that's a violation of the temporal aspect of Reb Chaim's chiluk, but it certainly is, at minimum, an escalation of it. Does the schus mezonos b'nichsei habal, b'nichsei ha'av, is that something that, you know, is determined by the, you know, point of initiation? And once you get it in, you know, it's grandfathered in and you never, you know, end with it until she's bogeris or whatever? Or is it something which is mechadesh every minute, in which case it would be a problem for Reb Chaim? He doesn't discuss it. I'm just raising it. I think that's a Mizonos question. That's ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two is, he's assuming, based on this temporal thing, that the Machlokas Rambam the Raivid is about whether or not, so what does the Rambam hold? The Rambam holds that the skus in Mizonos is Mishas Ibur, not Mishas Leda. That's a Machlokas. However, what I'd like to leave you with is the possibility of looking at that machlokas in a slightly different way, and especially based on a couple other Rambam. So let me just give them to you, and then we'll finish with this on Thursday, just a few other ha'aros, and we'll try to start Islandis on Thursday as well. So just to look quickly at two other Rambams in Reb Chaim's, just, you know, for the issue of Mima Enes in one case, and the issue of Tzchus, but just very, very quickly. That's the Rambam and the Raivid and the Reb Chaim in Hichos Ishus Perek Zayin Alacha Tazayin Mekadesh Meuberes, and the Rambam Raivid and Reb Chaim in Hichos Trumos Perek Ches Alacha Dalet. Because I'm going to, quickly, but I think they're both relevant to here. Then, in addition to that, I just want to talk about what I alluded to, which is the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Dalid, Halacha Zayin and Ches, and the Kesef Mishnah citation of the Sefer Abatim and the Marik, about what happens when you transition from Kiddushe Miyun Katan into Godless. Is that a new Kiddushin? Or is that Samafawe Gemar? Right, so the Nosa Kalim there, that's Dalet Zayin and Ches, and the language of the parallel Rambam in Gerushin Yud Aleph Dalet, Dalet through Vav and Zayin. Okay, and then just a few other points about the Rambam and Ramban, the Ramban and the Balamor, the Ritva, but I want to finish up for sure Miyun on Thursday. If we can start Islands, that would be great. For sure to finish up Miyun on Thursday. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready? With regards to the question on the Gemara,
yeah.
I already said that it was that the Kashya would be not a problem in the event he thought that Miyun was a real math here, because then
I said not a problem, but I would say that it's easier to explain.
I would have thought that anyway you're going to have the same kalvachomer working against the Gemara.